fuck's going on?
Hey, free the magnificent till it's back.
Free Rod the Magnificent. Stop snitching out here, y'all. Stop snitching.
Stop snitching. Stop.
Are you stick up the butt? No sense of humor having niggas out there, man. Y'all thought y'all silenced Rod, but all y'all did was put me and Nick at the helm, and now y'all really about to get it now. Y'all really about to
exactly.
get it now.
Exactly. We are both Tupac on Yo MTV Raps, and there's no Ed Lover or Dr. Dre to shut us up right now. So I don't man. Think y'all know what y'all unleashed.
Absolutely. Y'all, welcome to the MVV podcast, man. Me and Nick are holding it down for PR purposes. Rodney is cooling his heels for a little bit right now, but he will be back soon enough. This is a pod that's a little, it's going to be a quickie pod because currently both me and Nick are on the clock. So, you know, it is what it is. But in light of recent events, in light of update number two, you know, we had to hop back on, man. We had to share our thoughts, give the people what they want, you know. And share our initial reactions, man. So let's get to it, man. First of all, I want to say shout out to everybody out there who's been assigned to provide the emblems at the memorial coming up. Shout out to Brother Sanders, who accidentally picked up the wrong wine. He picked up some Taylor Port, and we had to explain to him, yo, that ain't it. You it's got additives. We can't roll with that.
Yeah.
Then he went out, came back. He came back with some Ripple. He said, man, where you even find this? Where you even find this? I didn't even know they still stole Ripple.
You give so Brother Sanders, you give him one more opportunity, he gonna come back with some Thunderbird.
He gonna come back with some Mad Dog 2020. He said it said 100% grape juice on the back of the bottle, which it does, but that's wine product, man. Good. That's not wine.
Yeah.
So shout out to him, man. You got any shout outs, Nick?
Oh, man. So I am outside taking a walk because this shout out pertains to work and I did not need anybody hearing what I'm about to say. I'm gonna look around behind me in front, make sure. All right.
Make sure the feds ain't listening.
Yeah, so shout out to sisters who be testing those new slacks out at work. They be testing them see-through slacks that be showing off the thong.
Run some water on the hot pants.
Shout out to them.
they wildin' out in the West Coast, huh?
Wildin', super wildin'. This happened yesterday. So
run some water on the hot pants.
Wait a minute. So let me ask you something. What do you do for a living?
I'm a bookkeeper. So I'm basically in the office all time.
Okay, and you work with other witnesses?
Yeah, the majority of us are witnesses there.
Nice. Okay. So you said the majority, so not everybody.
Yeah, not everybody. Probably like one or two, and there's like 15 people there.
So the people who run it are witnesses?
Ironically, it's my brother-in-law.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right, cool.
Yeah. So my wife's been working here since, you know, for 20 plus years. And I hopped on like a few years ago because I needed to get out of security because the job security insecurity is horrible. So.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Okay. I'm actually, dude, I'm driving past Cook County, the Cook County jail as we speak. I'm over here on 26th Street.
Hey, free the Magniff.
Free the Magniff, y'all. Free the Magniff. We fighting for you, bro. We fighting for you. But yeah, he'll be back soon enough. You know, he gotta play things, you know. He gotta play things a little safe right now. He is in an appointed position. But me and Nick ain't. So we could put it out there.
Yeah, Ian recently stepped away and I've been away for a minute, so you're gonna have to shut me up probably.
Yeah, you ain't shutting us up. You ain't shutting us up.
Hey, real quick, I want to tell Magniff to keep his guards up. We riding with him.
You know what I'm saying?
Y'all, and you know, if you want if you want your brother
to go,
and you don't want to have to worry about lurkers being all in the IG videos, all up on the posts, lurking, come over to MVP.
Yes, sir. Oh, man, that is hilarious. That is hilarious. And right on brand, too. The lurkers all on your page, judging. Come to MVP. Man, okay. Let's get into it, bro. Let's get into it. So, first of all, how did you even find out about Update 2?
From y'all.
Okay. Like, okay. I found out through my sister-in-law. She texted me and my wife and was like, "Man, y'all gotta watch the update. Y'all gonna love it." Blah blah blah. And I was like, "Man, last time I got a text from her about an update. It had to do with the beard adjustment." I'm like, "Oh snap! Yeah. What now?" You know. And it took me a while to get to it. It took me a couple hours to actually get to it. And then I saw it, and I saw it was like only 20 minutes long. So I said, okay, let me throw this on real quick and see what they're talking about. And I was thrilled, man. I was thrilled for the sisters. I was thrilled for Disfellowship people. I was thrilled for, you know, the other adjustments with the brothers. I was thrilled, man. I was just, I don't know no other way to put it. Like, you know, change is good, man. And I in my opinion... These are changes in a good direction. And yeah, man, I got more thoughts about the disfellowshipping adjustment than anything, but I'll let you take it away with what your initial thoughts were.
Yeah, no, so the like originally I only heard about the clothing change. I didn't know about what the rest of it was gonna be about. So when I watched it, I was thinking, like, man, like, how nice it's gonna be that, you know, if you made some mistakes, if you did something to where you have to be away for a while, you can still come in the hall and still at least get a greeting like a normal human being. Like, I completely understood why we weren't doing it before, you know, because you're trying to keep the congregation safe. But what really stood out to me was when you told that story about the dude you used to know who was disfellowshipped and his mom passed away, and how you were talking about... you know, people at the funeral were like ignoring him and how you gave him a hug and stuff. And that kind
of... Oh, that was his dad. That was his dad who passed away. Yeah.
His dad that died. Yeah. And so, like, that really stood out to me. Like, because honestly, like, in a funeral setting, that's like the only type of interaction where you would have with the disfellowship person, where it seems like it would be normal. So, the idea of people, you know, thinking that Jehovah wouldn't want you to at least give that person a hug after their family member passed and their family member was faithful, you know, like, and
knowing
that, hey, like, this could be a opportunity. Like, it's not like you're having a full-on conversation with them. It's just you're showing them love. You're showing them that there's still love for them, even though they fell away. You know, and so when I heard about these changes, it was like, man, like that's gonna be nice to where, you know, at least you can give like a little greeting, show some love to them for being there. Because if anything, if the disfellowship person is at the hall, they're trying, you know, like they're trying to get that. Like, no disfellowship person just comes to the hall and it's just like routine. If it's like that, then they're probably not going to be there much longer. But if they if they stick it out, they're really trying, you know. So I just think it was a update that was definitely needed. Like, these last few updates have all been changes that I feel like were needed. And you know, like, and there was no like disrespect towards how things were before. It was just, okay, it was like this. We grew, and it's like this now. And we have Jehovah's blessing on it. So there's no need to worry about, like, oh, this is how things were done in the past. Y'all are just correcting it now. There's no reason for anybody to be like, oh, that's the way I've been doing it. And y'all just catching up, like how some of these knuckle-headed beard cats were after that announcement. Like, if you're really going to be a spiritual person in any kind of way, accept it, be happy, and move on with the adjustments that have happened. Like, there's no point in focusing on any past things or how things used to be or anything like that, because it's like they said, the chariot keeps moving. So what's the point in standing still with the chariot that's constantly going to be moving? So, like, I want to be moving with the chariot, as imperfect and as many issues as I got. Like, I don't want to be left behind. Like,
same, bro. Same. Yeah, we're all imperfect people just trying to make sense to this thing called life, bro. And it's like, you know, in times past, when I would hear people say, just keep up with the chariot, it was usually in context with something, in the context of like responding to some counsel given or some direction given. And it was usually in the context of a person of an older generation giving directions to someone of a younger generation. Yeah. And now, with these changes, it's more incumbent, and the onus is on the older generation to move with these changes, as opposed to like directions that in the past it might have been more aimed toward younger people or other quote unquote wayward people. And it's really been a test for these friends, these older friends, especially these boomers who have been going around. I don't know what it's like in your locality, but like I've been hearing a lot of malcontent comments, you know, this ain't the organization I recognize or grew up in, or you know, what's next? Are they gonna let brothers wear skirts? They gonna let people come to the hall in swimsuits? It's like, yo, chill out. Wow. It's just pants. I remember when I was serving, and there was a sister I was going over questions, and she was it was me and another brother, and she asked me if it's okay for her to wear pants to the midweek meeting. She was like, you know, I'm always going to have a skirt on Sunday, but she was like, I get off work late and I have to pick up my daughter. This is a single mother. Is it all right if I wear pants to the meeting? And like, I'm like, ain't nothing in writing saying you can't wear pants to the meeting. I was like, the important thing is that you're there. And I got counsel for that, for telling her that. You know, now the brother who counseled me, I know he meant well, you know what I'm saying? I know he meant well, but he was an older brother, and it was just, that's just how they feel about certain things, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, my whole thing is, it's like, well, just show me it in writing, like, show me it in writing, and I could show her, but there was nothing in writing, you know? And as far as the no ties, I appreciate that, because raising somebody who's neurodivergent, who's uncomfortable in certain clothing, you know, I appreciate that, because he can come in a polo now.
Yeah. Hey, I seen my friend, his son was at the meeting with a turtleneck on, and I was like, oh, that's fly. Like, I didn't even think of that. I was like, I may have to get some turtlenecks popping.
Turtlenecks, Italian knits. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got a few African print shirts. You know what I'm saying? It's.
Uh-oh. It's about to be real niggerish at the hall.
Right?
Somebody going to show up in the dashiki at some point. I know this.
Hey, man. Hey. That's what it might be. But yeah, I appreciate that for neurodivergent people, too, who are uncomfortable because of sensory issues wearing certain clothes.
Yeah. Like, you know, my daughter, like, her thing has been like strings and things like that. Like,
you know, hold on, you're breaking up a little bit, Nick. You're breaking up. What did you say?
Let me get from here to the cars. But like my daughter, her thing lately has been like strings and stuff like that. So like with her, like sometimes certain strings on the dress or something can trigger something with her to where she can't focus. So who knows, like when she gets older, if she wants to start rocking pants and that calms her down, she can. The way I look at this is I'm just like, to me, it's like it's impossible to see these changes and to not think of, well, for me, it's like, how can you see these changes and not think that the brothers are trying to be as loving as they possibly can be? There could be 1,000 reasons for why this works out for certain people, but hey, like, does it really hurt your soul if sisters wear pants? Does it really hurt your
soul? Of these brands, I think it does hurt their soul. I think unfortunately, I think it's an ego thing. I think that people who know that they have stood 10 toes down on like no pants for sisters, gotta wear a tie, gotta be clean shaven. I think because of ego, a lot of those friends just don't want to back down because they made it such a big deal. But like, you know, times change. You know, beards don't mean what they used to mean. You know what I'm saying? Being modestly dressed doesn't mean you have to wear a white shirt and a tie and matching slacks with your jacket.
I remember, you know, I used to catch crap for having colored socks.
What?
Yeah.
How are they even seeing them?
when you sit down and the pants leg rises up and you catch them, like, it used to be it's kind of flamboyant. In my mind, I'm like, it's a color. Like, you know, it's not like my socks have like the Tribe Called Quest lady on the side of them. Like, you know, that would be dope, but I mean, it's not like it's that. It's just, it's a pink sock with like black diamonds on it. Like, there are ties like that. What's wrong with me wearing that next to me wearing a tie that has that design on it? Like, you know, I learned a lot of stuff in my like late teens because for some reason, like, I didn't really feel like a nigga until I was like 18.
Then you got your nigga wake up call.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, he is black. All right.
Man, true story. One time the homie Reggie, he wore some socks to the meeting. They were some J. Dilla Donuts socks.
Oh.
They had like the JD logo, like with the head, with the silhouette of his head, and it had the little donuts printed on it. Man, dude, I wanted to rob him so bad, bro. I wanted to rob him so bad that night, but you know what I'm saying? Like, had to let it go. But I was like, man, I wish I had them socks. But like what I hope does not happen, I hope people don't take it upon themselves to police sisters' pants, because it's like, I'm gonna be honest, man, some of these brothers be out here sexually repressed for whatever reason.
No, they do.
You know, maybe they didn't get stuff out of their system, you know, at a certain point in their life, certain stage in their life. Maybe things are a little icy with the wife. Who knows? I don't know. But it's like they just be seeing the worst in like sisters who, you know, like aren't. It's like, look, bro, that sister ain't on that. Like, just let this go. Ain't nothing wrong with her pants aren't distractingly tight. You know what I mean? And it's like everyone has in their head their idea of what proper pants should be. It's like, let's not even get into that, y'all. Let's not even get into all that. Like, just let's judge stuff on a case by case basis. But let's what the slave seems to be trying to push us toward is not judging.
Yeah.
So like, I don't even want to get into all that. Like, well, what about rompers? And well, what about shoes? What kind of shoes will be appropriate? It's like, let's not get into that, y'all. Like, if there's nothing in writing, but like. But here's the other thing I want to address. And I know this is, I already spoke on it with you and Rod, and I know this is an unpopular opinion.
Speak on it.
Speak on it, God. Yeah. I really, really want friends to stop. I really wish they would stop going around saying, This is to help us blend in with worldly people. Because the great tribulation, they know the great tribulation is coming. They want us to be able to blend in with worldly people. So when they look, they hunting us down, we won't stand out. Stop saying that, y'all.
That's wild. I haven't heard nothing like that over here. But when you said that, I was like, huh?
Friends in Chicago are very speculative and conspiracy theory driven. But it's like, it's not that deep, y'all. It's not that deep.
That's because y'all got nothing but ops out there, man.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Yeah, all the conflict fries my brain. But like, you know, it's like, look, if blending in with the world was the prime objective of this, and they're relaxing their standards because the world is in a different place. People are in a different place. You know, in their lives, they're trying to eliminate hoops that we have to jump through to be deemed acceptable and for brothers to work and have privileges. They're trying to adjust. So yeah. All this conspiracy that they want us to be able to blend in. If that was the case, then why didn't they okay earrings for men? Yeah. Or dreadlocks for men or tattoos?
Yeah.
Because if that's the case. If that's the case, I'm gonna go out and get my Lord Quaz tattoo. I always want.
Like if that is, it's like, why didn't they give the okay for knee high skirts?
Right, or our mini skirts.
If that was the case, like yeah, or them, or the Brother Moore special, the tight pants on me.
The Brother Moore is special. He did hate them tight pants. shout out to Uncle Tony. But yeah, like if that was the case, then there would be more stuff that they would be they would have, you know what I'm saying? They would have relaxed their stance on. So it's like, stop saying that. And when it comes to the Great Tribulation, our salvation is going to be based on your personal relationship with Jehovah and your faith in him. Not, like I said, not some sort of like master of disguise initiative. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because that shows you're dependent on human thinking and human ruses as opposed to just putting faith in God. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So,
like you really think that the person who can see into our inner being is going to be tripping because our beards are shaven and we're wearing like modest clothing? Like, you know, like and serial killers do that all the time to not get caught by humans. Like,
very true. Very true.
You know?
Yeah, very true.
Look at all the stuff coming. Look at all stuff coming out about Nickelodeon and stuff like that. How innocent seem, and look at all that stuff that's going on right now. Like,
I had to turn that off, bro. I was disgusted. Like,
I didn't even watch it. I knew about the Dan Schneider stuff from like back in the day. I didn't even watch it. And the wild thing is that like at one point, I had like a Nickelodeon recruiter calling my house when I was a kid. So.
Word.
Yeah, so I guess I ducked that.
Dang, yeah, you did. You sure did.
I would have had me on a feet commercial or something.
It would have had you out here like Saucy Santana.
Oh, that's horrible.
Shout out to Sauce. I don't want no beef with Sauce because Sauce be running down on niggas.
Hey. If I'm gonna shout out Saucy Santana for anything, it's for how flustered they had DJ Academics.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. That right there is the closest anyone has gotten to actually shutting him up. So
tell me this. What was your wife's response?
She had on pants the next meeting. she was ready for it. She was like, cool. No, I think the only thing I had an adverse reaction to initially was the no tie thing. Like when they said the pants thing, I was cool, and then when they said the no tie thing, I was like, because I'm thinking, no hate, but I'm thinking of all the sloppy brothers I know. and how it would look and things like that. And I'm just like, some people are going to take too much advantage of this. Like, but yeah. I had to correct myself, like, hey, like, you know, there's also the brothers who have disabilities who, like, hey, now they can relax in the meeting. They don't have to have this tie around their neck and stuff. Like, shoot. And then two meetings later, I was there without a tie because I had a really exhausting, stressful day. And it was like, I don't feel like wearing this. So.
That's dope, bro. That's dope. Yeah, just I'm more worried about them brothers who have too many buttons unbuttoned and they got the chest hairs out with the gold chains. God. But, you know, hey, but yeah. Some sisters are into that. Some sisters are into that. Like, what's weird is that, like, I've heard some sisters say that, like, you know, these changes have been making brothers more attractive. So it's like it makes worldly men less appealing. Hey, that's an angle I didn't even consider.
I know. I didn't consider that neither. So, hey, if the more that needs to be done to keep our women away from these devious men, hey.
You know? So, I didn't even consider that angle. But, man, the disfellowshipping thing, man, I'm happy for the change, bro. I'm happy for the change. Like, I have had conflicts, debates, arguments with family members who, you know, and by family members, I'm gonna just say it. I mean, my parents, like, who've disapproved of me reaching out to my disfellowship brother to let him know certain things that have gone down in the family, like deaths, you know, my mother's, you know, cancer diagnosis or whatever. And basically, it got to a point where I told him, look, we just gonna have to agree to disagree. But, you know, the fact that they could be greeted when they come to the Kingdom Hall now, I think that's great. I think that having people be able to reach out to them as well, to invite them to meetings is great too. It's like, you know, disfellowshipping is a traumatic experience to undergo. You know, unfortunately, I had a friend who 10 years ago actually committed suicide. A little bit after he was disfellowshipped, because he, you know, the psychological trauma of everything that's entailed with that, you know, it's just too much for him, you know. And
real talk, my sister-in-law that I didn't get a chance to meet, same thing. After she got disfellowshipped, she had some mental issues, and she took her own life as well.
Oh man, I'm sorry to hear that, man. My condolences. You know, I have a disfellowshipped sister-in-law. I have a disfellowshipped brother. I have a homeboy. I've never been disfellowshipped, but I've had friends who've been disfellowshipped, and they talked about certain things that they've gone through. Another friend of mine, his daughter, his 18-year-old daughter, was recently disfellowshipped. And they've been going through it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just with the, not even with the friends, with her grandparents, you know?
Yeah. So it's hard. Cause like with the older friends, like I can't fault them so much because, you know, they grew up at a time when it was like all contact shut off. Don't even talk to them, you know? And I get it because, you know, at the time, it was viewed almost as like a sickness. So, like, it was always presented as if you associate in any kind of way, it's like you're making yourself available to catch it. And then all of a sudden, you're going to start thinking a certain way. It was always kind of presented that way. But now it seems more like, it may be like a sickness, but it's less about you catching it and more about what can we do to help heal the person who already has it, you know?
Yeah. Man, I'm sorry to hear that about your sister-in-law, bro. That is something I think about my homeboy John every day, dang, like, how could this have played out differently, you know?
Yeah.
you know, because he was such a fun and funny, you know, a quirky, interesting personality, man. And like, you know, talking to his parents and his sister when they did like a little like memorial luncheon or whatever, it was just, you have all these nagging feelings like, man, maybe something have been done different. You know what I'm saying? Like,
this
did not need to happen, you know. And I've heard of other people, you know what I'm saying, unfortunately, who have done that as well, who've committed suicide because the stress of their friends and family just dropping them, you know. And you know, my cousin was telling me about her mom's experience when she was dissed for a couple years. And you know, people would have things to say when her grandparents would give her a lift to the assemblies and conventions because she didn't have a car. But it's like, what do you want her to do? You want her to miss the assembly? Like,
yeah, we got to remember that, like, this isn't a person that has leprosy. Like, this isn't a person who, you know, unclean and then they, like, you know, like, it's not like that. Like, this is still a human. Like, I guarantee you, like, if the, in the past, if the elders came across somebody who was disfellowshipped, who didn't have a vehicle, who wanted to come back and make the meetings, they're going to put in the effort to make sure that person gets to the hall. Like, you know, and so, like, are you going to look sideways at an elder for doing that? Like, if not, then why look sideways at somebody's family for doing that? But it, if anything, it shows the imperfection. Like, it's imperfection. Everybody's trying to keep themselves protected. And sometimes maybe there's a bit of weakness in yourself that, you know, you just, it's almost like a fear, like, oh, if I have any type of interaction, when honestly, you're probably suffering more damages interacting with a non-disfellowship person that don't have their mind straight about serving than you would from a disfellowship person. Like, I've experienced that, so, you know.
And PSA too, if you had a falling out with somebody before they got disfellowshipped or went inactive, if you had a personal falling out with them and you haven't spoken to that person in years, don't reach out to them like, hey, you want to come to the memorial? Don't do that if you know things didn't end on good terms.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a homeboy who years ago, he resolved, to his credit, he resolved, I'm going to get my life right with Jehovah. I'm going to straighten up. I'm going to tighten up and clean my life up. But I'm also going to clean up my association. So I need to tell my friends that I don't want to have nothing to do with them now because I think they're spiritually weak, which is something I advised him to not do. He did it anyway. And here we are 20 years later, dang near. And like, he didn't reach out to these dudes and they're like, what the F? Like, why is he contacting me? Because they feel like, dude, you don't care about me as a person. You just care about, you know, whether or not you can get me to come to the hall. Is this part of some initiative where you're going to get credit for how many people you invite back? And I'm like, nah, y'all, it ain't like that. Things have changed. You know what I'm saying? So PSA on that too. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all I'm gonna say. Like,
yeah, if you have the thought in your head to do that, tell an elder, let them do it. like you don't necessarily need to do that, especially if you have like a past with that person that ended on a negative note. If you have that and you want to help them because maybe your mind is changed and all stuff, let the elders know. Let them know, hey, this went bad. I don't know if I can approach them. Can you try to approach them? And then they can see how they can handle it.
Yeah. Or at least acknowledge where things last left off. Apologize for the stuff you said to these people.
That part.
and then work your way up to inviting them to the memorial. You know what I'm saying? But like, yeah, these were dudes who held you down when you got reproved. You know, these were dudes who held you down when you needed a place to stay because you was going at it with your father, and he told you you couldn't stay there no more. These were the dudes who you ran to, and then it was like, okay, now that I'm ready to get my life together, like, I'm gonna go scorched earth and tell these niggas I don't want to have nothing to do with them anymore. And it's like, yeah. People remember that, man. People remember that.
Yeah. There's so many better ways to do that.
Yeah. Quick question. Do you think anything else will change in the future? Do you predict any more adjustments?
I just want to shout out Chaz, first of all, for that prediction, because I wouldn't expect it. I'm struggling to think what else could change. The only thing I could think of is, I probably would have said something about the meetings themselves, but after COVID, that would probably would have been my prediction. If COVID never happened, there would have been more access to make remote meetings better. And then it happened. So I'm kind of struggling to think of what else could change from this point on, like that would need to be changed, really.
I can think of three things.
Well, go ahead now that you got time, because I ain't got no time.
I think it's a possibility that they could in the future relax. Not that there's anything in writing now on this. Okay? Not that there's anything, or at least I haven't read of anything. So if y'all have read something, get at me. But like, I think they will be relaxing on like ear piercings for men.
That would be interesting.
Whatever argument you can make against it, you can make against it for women.
Yeah. Yeah. So the beard thing kind of nullified a lot of stuff. So, I mean, I personally don't see that happening, but I never saw the beard thing happening either. So.
That's true. So, I mean, we're living in new times now, though. You know what I'm saying? It's 2024, and like, you know, our understanding of things has been refined. And another thing I think that might be on the table for adjustment, it might be some adjustments to the blood issue. I don't know. Yeah. This is just me speculating, you know, but that is something that like I thought about once I had a child, like, man, would I let him die over blood? And it was like, I really couldn't answer. Yeah. And I'm not saying that to say anybody out there should change their mind, like do what you know is right. I'm just saying what thoughts were going through my head at the time.
Yeah. I think that with a lot of the clarification, like, I can kind of go around that route, but rather than like a gigantic change, I could see there being some more clarification regarding maybe certain medical practices, around that, because like as things came up, like they start mentioning plasma and stuff like that. You and me grew up at a time when it was like no blood, period, no matter what. And of course the world offered no other alternative at those times. Like, whereas now there's more that's developing. So I feel like that could be a fluid thing, because the development in care and stuff like that, they're still coming up with new methods of care today. So I could see that being more fluid. I don't know about a big complete change, but adding more methods, I could see that.
Yeah, you're talking about as the medical community is concerned.
As they develop them, I could see there being more clarification on the society side as to if it's acceptable or not. Maybe certain things may end up being more acceptable than they were in the past.
Yeah. You know, it's just, for me, it's like, you know, the rules are the rules. I just, you know, I've always thought to myself, man, is a symbol of life more important than an actual life?
I hear you.
You know, but hey, I shall wait.
Yeah, I shall wait. Exactly. That's the point. You're willing to wait and see. Like, you know, like, not everybody is like that. Some people aren't willing to wait and see. They want to do whatever. Other people see the change and they react negatively because they're so used to being set in their ways. And then the rest of us are just like, all right, cool. What's next?
Yeah. Next change I see. I'm sorry. I'm thinking I just saw somebody I went to high school with. But anyway,
I know you got the memorial invitation on deck for him, though.
she's batting for the other team now, so you know.
Okay. Hey.
Yeah, cool chick though, man. Cool chick. But
they could still pass some emblems around. Shoot.
That's something else I thought about. Like sisters who you know what I'm saying? Sisters who might like sisters. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know these sisters, they got the short haircut. They come in there with their pantsuit on looking fly. You know what I'm saying? they could, you know what I'm saying? They could blend in a little better.
To a certain point.
You know?
To a certain point. Like, I mean, going along that route, something I also kind of thought about, like, maybe not acceptance of certain lifestyles, but maybe more reminders of love towards certain people, no matter what type of lifestyle they choose, because, of course, what we present to them is encouraging them to change that so that they can be more in line with Jehovah. But some people probably need to be reminded more that, hey, Jesus had love for these people when he was preaching to them. The apostles had love for these people when they were preaching to them. You got to still have love for them regardless of the lifestyle they're leading, because how are you going to encourage them in any way to change that when the world is telling them it's all normal? If you got hate for them, just like fanatics in the world got hate for them, you know? So,
yeah,
I can see something like that.
Yeah. There's one sister I know who, you know, had recently come in, and she identified as bi, and very cool sister too, by the way. Biggest sweetheart you ever meet. She was always sweet to my son, you know, but she was struggling, you know what I'm saying? She was struggling. Like, she identified as bi, but she was struggling with the women, not the brothers, you know what I'm saying? Different women who were coming in her, trying to come back into her life after she became a witness. And, like, the stuff, I'm going to tell you, man, the stuff these women be saying, their game is way better than our game. You know,
I can understand, like, it. They're talking to themselves,
basically. Yeah. But the third change I think might happen. They're gonna phase out cart witnessing.
That ain't happening in California. I can guarantee you that.
I think within the next 10 years they will phase out cart witnessing because it's pulling away support from the door-to-door work. And I don't know. I it could be productive. I don't know. But it doesn't appear to be very productive. Like, I don't know anybody on my end who's ever started a study through card witnessing. But, you know, and it's been situations out here where it's been a safety issue. You know, it's made people sitting ducks for apostates. It's made people sitting ducks for just crazy folks. Yeah. You know, who want to get violent or want to harass sisters.
You know, I take it back. I kind of agree with that, but in a different way. I feel like
in 10 years, all witnessing may be phased out at that point, because we may be in the thick of it by that point.
Could be. You know. Yeah, I don't like them car witnessing niggas.
Hey, that's my mama you talking about.
Hey, present company excluded. Like, you know what I'm saying? But out here in Chicago, man, they be thinking they better than everybody else.
Yeah, that's the bad part. I'm grateful for it because, like, my mom has fibromyalgia and walking around can be like real hard for her, and she's pioneering. So, like,
I understand
the fact that she's able to do this with my stepfather is like it's a blessing to me. And honestly, like, I ain't the biggest fan of going to nobody's door since the pandemic. So.
I mean, me too.
I'm kind of along the lines of when my daughter gets older and we get like a little more free time, I may be a little more heavy in these cards too.
You better, man. Let me just post up on the block.
Hey, it's tree. Hey, I'm gonna feel like Bruiser Wolf in card witnessing, man. It's my block.
I'm gonna
go from dope dealer to coke shiver.
You must circle small, DOT. The Bruiser Wolf of card witnessing. Giving me dirty looks on the corner with that white girl.
Oh, man. Me and the white girl were more than friends because she's my sister. Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible. I'm outside. I'm about to truck down.
All right. Let's cap this off, man. My phone is blowing up. Let's cap this off. The only award I got is a Big Head Rico Award. And that's for whoever was out there trying to snitch out my boy Rodney.
Yeah.
On his IG Live. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm going to roll up on him like Ike Love. I'm going to roll up on him like Ike Love. You know what I'm saying? Is this the flyest nigga in Nebraska? Then we going to go out for drinks and then I'm going to blow him away. I'm going to get in the hole.
Yeah,
you know, from a man knowledge. And Nick gonna be in the getaway car when I run out the bar, you know?
true. And I wanna say my Essence of Otis Award also to whoever snitched out Ride the Magnif. I'ma roll up on them and they gonna be like Ricky from Boys in the Hood when I'm done. So hey.
Gonna put that West Coast on them, that shoddy on them.
yeah. Hey.
We're gonna do them like Calvin. Yeah, like Calvin and paid in full. Like, what's popping, Kermit?
What's popping? be like Keisha in New Jack's Rock and Bob, baby. Oh, man, Rod out, man. There are so many more brothers out there doing like inappropriate shooting or business stuff, and y'all gonna hate on my boy Rod.
You say you're gonna do them like Keisha in New York City. I'll be like, that's how you roll up on a mother in broad daylight. I'm gonna be like, I know what floats Rod's boat. I'm gonna give him that chain.
All that to say, read the Magnif. We just keeping the throne hot for him when he comes back and he gives his public discourse. So we just keeping it ready for him with this pod.
Exactly. All right, Nick, let me get back to work.
Same here.
People back. And keep your head up out there and I will holler at you soon.
Yep, same. All right, y'all. Peace.
All right, peace. I pop the pain away, I slide the pain away, I pop the pain away, I slide the pain away.
too late to set my demons straight. I know I made you wait, but how much can you take? I hope you see the God in me. I hope you can see. And if it's up, stay down from me. Yeah.
Sherry, Sherry, cocoa bar, Seraphina, flame and ice. Where I'd be without you, love. That's your wings and trust. I feel you deep, I feel 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 deep.
Do you love me? Do you trust me? Can I trust you? Don't judge me. I'm a diehard, it gets ugly. Too passionate, it gets ugly. To hide now, can I open up? Is it safe or not? I'm afraid a little you relate or not. Have faith a little, I might take my time. Ain't no saving face this time.
I hope I'm not too late to set my demons straight. I know I made you wait, but how much can you take? I hope you see the God in me. I hope you can see. And if it's up, stay down from me.
Shimmy, shimmy, cocoa bar, Seraphina, flame and ice. Where I'd be without you, love. That's your wings and trust. I feel you deep.
I got some regrets, but my past won't keep me from my best. Subtle mistakes felt like life or death. I wanna see the family stronger. I wanna see the money longer. You know that I'd die for you. I get emotional about life. The lost ones keeping me up at night. The world be reminding me it's danger. I still risk it all for a stranger. If I told you who I am, would you use it against me? Right or wrong, no stone, just love to send me.
I hope I'm not too late. Set my demons straight. I know I made you wait, but how much can you take? I hope you see the God in me. I hope you can see. And if it's up, stay down from me. Yeah. Baby, you make me pray for London. Yeah. Cause if I want it all without you involved, guess it's all for nothing.